fans, to the show that never ends. This is Wayback Playback, episode number 382. As this week, we bring you the conclusion of WWF Primetime Wrestling for April 28th, 1986. Hello, you people, and Happy New Year. I am Pat McNeil. As you know, my co-host Jim Valley is on extended medical leave and is busy for the holidays. Returning to the show this week to finish us up is longtime fan and occasional guest host Scott Pasner. Scott, are you ready to hop into the Wayback Machine, return to 1986, and enjoy the last big moment of Corporal Kirshner's WWF career?
Looking forward to it, Pat.
Yes, it's sad that we lost Corporal Kirshner recently, but hopefully this will bring a good memory to everybody as we get set to see Corporal Kirshner and the Iron Sheik from Madison Square Garden. Okay, so the podcast rankings, a big week this week, in case you missed it. We made it onto the wrestling podcast charts in our 22nd country, this one being Taiwan. Cracked the top 10 in Taiwanese wrestling podcasts. I didn't know it was possible, but I got to thank you people for that. Also, we jumped up the charts in the U.S. and Great Britain and Ireland, so I got to thank everybody for that.
Great week. And
yes, and it's great, and I think we owe the return of WWF and of course Scott Pasner and Bob Cook, who was huge in Taiwan, obviously. But yeah, but Scott had a big part of this, so thank you, folks. Also, we've got a new year starting on the Patreon, and we'll talk about that during the commercial break. Patreon.com/WaybackPlayback. Okay, so now's the part where we reminisce as to what was going on at this time, Monday, April 28th, 1986. And, we talked about what was going on in wrestling in our last episode. Let's fill in the other culture stuff. All right, your New York Times bestsellers. On the fiction charts, Born Supremacy by Robert Ludlum in its eighth week at number one. And nonfiction, You're Only Old Once by Dr. Seuss in its sixth week at number one. So, yeah, if you read the Born Supremacy, if you read that Bourne trilogy, the books are just a bit different from the movies. Actually, the first Bourne Identity is very similar to the book is very similar to the movie, and then they changed up around for 2 and 3 because they kind of had to. Right? Hello, Scott, you're still there, right?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I heard you. Okay. Let's see. Number one song on the Billboard charts. Do you want to chance it? You want to take a guess?
April of 86. Manic Monday by the Bengals.
Ooh, good choice, but no. Kiss by Prince and the Revolution, a song that was later covered by, I believe, Tom Jones very effectively. You get the idea. Okay. Top movie in the United States. Monday, April 28th, 1986, Legend, starring Tom Cruise and Mia Sara in its second week at number one.
I had a feeling it was a Tom Cruise movie. I just did, Pat.
I think we're dead on here. Top news story, by the way department on a Monday. Oh, by the way, there was an accident at a nuclear power plant in the Soviet Union. The place is in the Ukraine. It's a town called Chernobyl. 31 people died almost instantly from the reactor meltdown. Long-term deaths estimated in the thousands, and all sorts of property damage and stuff. Take care of your nuclear power plants, kids. I think that's the lesson of both that news story and The Simpsons.
Most definitely.
Yes.
And the HBO special, which I did not watch, Pat, about Chernobyl.
Oh, okay. Well, I didn't watch it either, so it's okay. Yeah, lived through it. Well, not personally, but lived through 1986, so I was kind of up to speed. Pro basketball, game one of the Eastern Conference semifinals in the NBA. Charles Barkley has 31 points and 20 rebounds, and that's how the Philadelphia 76ers win game one over the Milwaukee Bucks, 118-112 at the Mecca. Terry Cummings was the top guy for the Bucks with 27 points. Yes, so some of you, yes, I'm old enough that I remember when Charles Barkley played in the NBA. That's how old I am.
I remember too. He was
Sir
I'll
Charles.
Tell you this, Charles. He's still. When you look back, that team though, taking him on his shoulders to play this, they lost to the Bucks in that series, Pat.
Yeah, that's true. All right. Oh, and Major League Baseball. Well, technically there wasn't a Monday Night Baseball that, you know, that year, but if there had been, it would have been following the St. Louis Cardinals and the San Francisco Giants. The Cardinals win 5-4 in 12 innings at Candlestick Park. Vince Coleman drove home the winning run for the Cards in the top of the 12th, and Pat Perry made the save in the bottom of the 12th. So there you are. Really, I don't have reviews of this episode of Primetime because I don't think Meltzer was reviewing Primetime, and I'm pretty sure Wade Keller wasn't. So, yeah. I'm sorry I can't provide that for you, folks.
You already gave us a lot, Pat. I wonder what the Mets were doing that 86 Mets season. They were already in first place with the Cardinals.
They had the night off, and they were going to play the Braves tomorrow on the Tuesday. So they were off to a pretty hot start, as I recall.
Great start to the year, went all the way through.
Yep. Yeah, that was good. That was good times for the Mets. I remember, you know, I laughed my full head off when the ball rolled under Bill Buckner's legs and the Mets won. That was highly entertaining.
Great stuff, Pat. Great stuff.
Sorry, Radican. I don't mean to bring back that memory. Okay. And we're going to start this thing off after this brief timeout. So, Scott, you knew we were going to talk about our Patreon and what we're going to do here in 2022. I think for the new year, we're going to bump the, you know what we have on Patreon. We have patreon.com/waybackplayback. We have a few tiers on there that you can try. We have all the, don't matter what tier you're on, you get all the episodes. All the episodes, as many of them, most of a big chunk of them now without commercials. But, you know, actually, most of them are without commercials, which is good because, you know, some people are annoyed by extensive commercials like this very one, Scott, where we plug stuff. You don't have to worry about that because there's no reason to give you commercials for Patreon when you're already subscribing to Patreon, right?
Agreed. Pat, that's one of the great features of Patreon, no commercials.
That is one of the, that is very important to us, folks. And now, you know, we have the Black Scorpion tier. That's where you get, you know, for $10 a month, you get everything, all the bonus stuff that we do, all the stuff I dig out from the archives of when Jim and I both worked for the Pro Wrestling Torch. And obviously, you know, thank you to Wade Keller for making that deal. So extending that courtesy to our fans, or if you just feel like, or if you want to, you can go sign up for the Torch VIP service, and presuming you can find all of them, you can download and listen to all of our shows from there. That's fine with us. But that works out quite well. But what we're going to do this month is we're going to bump the price of our Time Traveler tier, the basic tier with shows in advance and shows without commercials. We're going to bump that up, I think, to $4.89. $4.89, less than $5 a month. And what we're going to do is we're going to throw in one of the bonus episodes that Jim and I have made. I think we're going to throw in the October 1986 episode of Wrestling Challenge that we did a watch along for that you have not heard, unless you're a subscriber to the Patreon. So that's what we'll do this month for people who want to sign up and try out the Time Traveler tier. I think that's a fair deal.
That sounds good, Pat.
Yeah, and we're trying to add we've been trying to add more bonus episodes. We've done a bunch of bonus matches in the past, just testing the waters, making sure that there's extra content for people who enjoy Wayback Playback and enjoy things Jim and I have done and want more of it. So we're definitely gonna try to do something with Scott here for as a bonus for the Patreon. We'll see how that goes here, though. It's been a long day here, folks, at the studios.
Understood, Pat.
Yeah. I think it's probably been a long day for Scott too, and you know. Yeah, but we thank everybody who has helped make Wayback Playback happen. We're up to we're gonna hit episode 400, and later this year in 2022, and we thank you all very much for your support. And stick around at the end of the show, and be sure to vote at Real Pat McNeil on Twitter to help decide what show we're gonna be watching next.
Based on our Twitter poll, looks good, Pat. Looks like some good options.
Okay, we are back, and during the commercial, Scott and I were talking about the. We're not going to pretend that we're not going to pretend that we waited to start the Twitter poll, but we did start the Twitter poll. It looks like It looks like we might get a Royal Rumble. So, you know, at least one we haven't done before. And we'll talk about that. And I'm very excited about it. But right now, we're back. I'm at 52 minutes and 51 seconds on here with a black screen. Scott, or is that where you are here on Peacock for the April 28th, 86 episode of Primetime?
Yes, 52:51, black screen.
Perfect. So everybody, let me get this queued up. We're all going to hit play together in 3, 2, 1. And we're back from break. Oh boy, it's our Primetime Classic coming up. Yep. And this is something that, you know, back in 86, I wish we had more of. The Primetime Classic is going to be showing a classic match from Madison Square Garden in 1977, of all things.
This, Pat, I don't remember this being a feature on Primetime. And I know
it wasn't, I started watching, I don't think it was a feature for very long, but... Old Madison Square Garden, a tag team match in progress. And this is, you know, I remember that when Scotty Flamingo, a.k.a. Scott Levy, a.k.a. Raven, was producing All American Wrestling, they managed to do a classic match on there each week because Raven would go and pick out the matches. All right, but this is tag team action from August of 77. The team of Mr. Fuji and Professor Toru Tanaka are taking on, I believe, Jose Gonzalez and Lenny Hurst. What a match. I know what you're thinking. What a match. Vince McMahon is very excited about this match. The Garden crowd loves this match. They I guess they loved anybody sticking it to Fuji and Tanaka.
So this is 77, Pat. June 77, you said?
I think August 77, but I will look and make sure. Yeah.
I know about Toru Tanaka, Pat, if I remember correctly, he was always in one of the after mags, like the wrestling spotlight.
He's a big fella.
He's a wrestler.
All right. No, it's not this. Okay. It's not. Maybe I have it wrong. I don't know. I'm going to have to go back and check my garden here. Oh, here we go. Yep. No, August 1, 1977. And this is one of those shows that actually was aired on HBO back when, you know, HBO wasn't that big a deal. This was the opener. Jose Gonzalez and Lenny Hurst taking on Fuji and Tanaka. Geez. Okay, so what was going on with the tag belts at this point?
Yeah, who's tag team champions at this point?
That's what I'm looking for here. This is wild stuff. This is wild, weird, wild stuff. Good grief. Okay. Oh, is it Zbyszko and Tony Garea? It might be Zbyszko and Tony Garea. Well, now let's see. Okay, and yeah, they did a similar match. They were doing similar matches around the horn. I'm trying to understand. I'm looking for a tag title defense. Billy Graham's the champion. Okay, if that helps at all, I don't know that it does.
Heel champion, face tag team champ, no IC belt at this point.
No. I want to say, yeah. Okay. Oh, the first fall is going to go to Fuji and Tanaka. This is 2 out of 3 falls. Okay. Jeez. Okay. Oh, let's see. Vincent, okay. Okay, so the tag titles are vacant for some reason. They don't explain why here. Later in August. And, yeah, they go on TV and they're going to have a match between with Garea and Zbyszko against Tanaka and Fuji. Yes. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. So what happened here? Oh, okay. Oh, Tanaka. Oh, yeah. They're going to have a match for the tag titles, but Tanaka breaks his foot. So I think. Garea and Zbyszko get to keep the tag titles. Huh. It's just weird.
It's just, to me, Pat, just seeing Fuji in the ring.
Yeah.
In his young days at this point, because in 77, he's got to be, what, he's in his 30s? He can't
let's,
be.
Let's hope. He's not, yeah.
Tanaka looks like he could...
Tanaka's a looks like a beast,
yeah, the bulldog.
Oh yeah, I mean
He looks like he could definitely, you know, he looks like he could be a competent wrestler right here. I just like I said, Fuji, yeah, but you know, just seeing him getting around the ring with some agility.
Okay, the main event of this show is Billy Graham defending against Bruno Sammartino with special guest referee Gorilla Monsoon. So obviously, it's a full house in the garden.
This is a full house ready to cheer on Bruno. That crowd must be on fire.
And Gurria and Zbyszko have a 2 out of 3 falls tag team match, also non-title, coming up later on the card against George the Animal Steel and Stan the Man Stasiak.
Wow.
I know. This is some wild. This is weird.
This is for them to give you this much at a show. And I know, you know, Vince Sr. was not always giving you the most at your shows, at your house shows, but sounds like this night he was this night.
Yeah, it's I mean, it's pretty loaded here. Jay Strongbow against Ken Patera, Ivan Putski against Baron Von Raschke, and the High Chief Peter Maivia, grandfather of The Rock, against Nikolai Volkov.
Doesn't sound like there's a slacker match on the show.
This might be the slacker match. Well, I don't know. Well, Carlos Colon against Johnny Rods.
Yeah.
There it is. Okay.
Was Carlos Colon, he always thought that he would be able to draw and bring in the Puerto Rican fan base.
You got the ethnic guys. I mean, I guess Pedro Morales wasn't around then. But he always did favors for, you know, other promoters, like letting their guys or themselves wrestle in the garden. You know, that's just good. That's just good business, really.
That is, Pat, as you were saying this over this winter vacation, I've been reading The Death of the Territories, and it's right. Very interesting.
Great book, by the way.
Yeah, very, very good. Very well researched. But Pat, I just like you said, when they talk about Vince Sr.'s relationships with everybody and the way he would bring people in to give them that spotlight of MSG. Mm-hmm. And again, in New York, you make it here that, you know, those guys, and, you know, I know Vince Sr.'s thoughts always, and Vince too,
yeah,
is that if you make it at the Garden, you're going to make it.
Right. Plus, it enables, other people were booking Billy Graham. I mean, Billy Graham's getting booked in Florida as a champion, yeah, so... he's being booked as WWF champion, and he and Ernie Ladd are feuding with Dusty Rhodes and Steve Kern. Oh, that's good.
Well, this is Graham's reign just had started. What? When did he win the belt? That spring?
I'm looking here. It looks like
June.
Yeah. Okay. That sounds plausible. Yeah. Okay. Well, he's a champion in June here. Let's see. I'm going back here. I'm still not. Oh, here we go. Yeah, they're the. Okay, so Fuji and Tanaka were the tag champions. I'm trying to find out where the titles got held up here. Okay, then they're defending it in June. They're feuding with Strongbow and Haystacks Calhoun. Because why not? You know.
Tanaka is. I'm just like I said. I'm impressed with Tora Tanaka. Very impressed, Pat.
Yep. So anybody who feuds with Fuji and Tanaka are over, I guess.
Makes sense. And
Blassie's managing these guys.
That's what I was going to ask. Managing. Yep. Freddie Blassie's manager. It's a. You could see this being a strong. The team that's, you know, has the belts.
They're being taken care of. Yeah. Here we go. All right, so there's a TV match where Blassie has to interfere to save the tag titles, and hits Gurria with his cane. Okay, and I guess that leads to the title being held up, but the title goes to, I guess, Gurria and Zbyszko because Tanaka's out with a broken foot. Oh, well. Yeah, and Gorilla Monsoon believes, you know, Tanaka can come back and wrestle today and be successful. So.
That's what, again, 86. When does Tora Tanaka's career end, Pat?
I don't know.
I'm asking Pat like you're the encyclopedia. Oh, I don't know this. I don't remember Tora Tanaka post 85, except in the PWI and the Weston magazines.
Okay, well, we got a big one coming from the Garden up here in just a minute. It's Iron Mike Sharp taking on CV Offie.
Can't be more lucky than this, Pat.
Yep, I know. Okay, Tanaka died in 2000, retired in 86. So
this is right when he retired. Maybe.
Yeah, they're showing this when he retired. Yeah. And let's see. I mean, good grief. He's made a couple appearances on the A Team. Was in Pee Wee's Big Adventure, Little House on the Prairie. My gosh, this guy's in a lot of. He was in The Running Man. Oh wow.
I wonder if Gorilla was putting in one last word to bring back Toru Tanaka for a match against Hogan in mid-86.
Former NWA Georgia heavyweight champion, Toru Tanaka. Let's see. Big time wrestling champion twice. Canada's greatest athlete. Iron Mike Sharp is here, folks. Okay, so Tanaka and Fuji held the tag titles three times. And Tanaka got in, Hall of Fame, WWF Hall of Fame 2019, WWE Hall of Fame. CV Offie from the Isle of Samoa. Yes. Okay. And we have Alfred Hayes to explain CV Offie. Yeah, I'll explain CV Offie. Snuka left. They needed another Samoan. Or Tongan or whatever. Papalitele Taugaga, or whatever the heck his name is. Yeah, and he was brought back as a heel a couple years later when the Islanders were heels to fill in for Tama. So
I don't remember that, Pat. How long did that last?
Not long at all. Let's see. They decided to make Kaku a singles wrestler. All right, Mike Sharp, ladies and gentlemen. Mike Sharp, obsessive compulsive, clean freak who would like spend like a half hour in the showers after wrestling. Okay, so let's see. Since retiring from professional wrestling, Togaga has converted to Christianity. He has written two books, and let's see. He studied to become a minister in Ohio, and last they heard he was in Florida. Oh, good for him.
More power to him.
Yes, former North American heavyweight champion, former Hawaii heavyweight champion, Polynesian champion, New Zealand champion. Okay. Yeah, basically his crime was, retired from wrestling in 1997. After leaving the WWF, CV Offie or Togaga went to work as a stuntman and bodyguard for Burt Reynolds. Well, that's tough. Well, it's nice to work if you can get it.
Wow.
Yeah. His biggest success was in Hawaii as a babyface. He actually worked a 1-hour time limit draw against Ric Flair.
Hey, okay. Listen, Flair could carry a broom. We know that.
Yeah, I'm guessing he was easier to carry than comatose Kerry Von Erich or George Gulas or what have you.
Totally. Now, at this point, are anybody, you're looking, Snuka is gone how long, Pat? He's gone, because I know he worked
at the at this point. So.
Yeah, he worked Wrestle Rock a week before this show.
Yeah, okay. He doesn't come back to WWF until 89, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, but the CV Offie, let's see. Yeah, it wasn't six-man tag. Yeah, left in 88. Went back to work in New Zealand as a wrestler in 90. And he was pretty much done with WWF after that. It was one of those things. It's like Sergeant Slaughter left. They brought in Corporal Kirchner, figuring, we got this spot. So anybody can do it. And anybody could do this spot. It's just hard to do well. The dropkick is nice.
Oh, exactly. But just like you said, what you're looking at, he doesn't have.
He's not Jimmy Snuka, Exactly. Which is good because he didn't murder anybody. But on the other hand,
Exactly. Now he's a preacher. So
yeah, it turns out well for him. Okay. All right. Well, the police are there to make sure nobody bothers Iron Mike Sharp. And Mike Sharp is a guy who started off, you know, he got in with WWF. He was on the mid card. He just kept moving slowly down the card.
Because Pat, like what you just said, like what in 83, didn't he have a garden match with Backlund?
Yeah, he did.
So, you know, you're not looking, you're only a couple of years off. And, but just like you said, he wasn't the guy that you would think the first guy someone would wrestle.
No. Oh yeah. And Ernie Ladd is on commentary still. And Ernie Ladd, a fine, fine man. Mike Sharp died in 2016.
And just like you said, though, Sharp, though, again, he would wrestle Pat. You know, it wouldn't be the first match when someone came into WWF, but, you know, an earlier feud.
Right. So Mike Sharp at this point, he's 34. Yeah. Didn't retire until trained by the missing link, Dewey Robertson. Didn't retire until 97. Oh, Mike Sharp. Personal life, let's see. Sharp's nickname behind the scenes because of the OCD was Mr. Clean. Yeah, and they mentioned it on commentary that Monsoon even mentioned on commentary that Sharp had the first match of the night and at the Boston Garden and was still in the showers when they locked up. Yeah, and Sharp was also not only OCD about being clean, he was OCD about working out, which is, you know, which is why he's in such big shape. Let's see. Okay. He returned to Hamilton to live with his aging mother. All right. Let's see. Well, let's look at the championships of Mike Sharp. Former Mid-America champion. All right. Former Louisiana title holder for Mid-South. Former Canadian tag team title holder. And held the Pacific Coast title in Vancouver, and former Tri-States Brass Knucks champion. All right, well, there you go. Mike Sharp, everybody. Professional wrestling career, let's see, best known for WWF. Yes, stayed there for 12 years, 83 to 95.
That's a nice long run.
Yeah, nobody did that.
83 to 95, 12 years, Pat, that's awesome.
Yeah, he got his start. He was working for Lou Albano. You know, hit that forearm smash. Couldn't beat Backlund, and moved down. He was on Piper's Pit. He was Ivan Putski in Putski's comeback match. In 1988, pinned Boris Zukov in first round of the King of the Ring tournament. And actually, in 1984. He and Hogan were tag team partners in New Japan.
Wow, that I never knew at all. I didn't realize.
Well, Hogan was the heel over there in 84, so they teamed together. His last televised match, June 6, 1995, Mike Sharp and Dwayne Gill lose to the Smoking Guns. Let's see.
Still going strong.
1996, worked in the MEWF in Baltimore. Got beat by lots of people. Nikolai Volkoff, lost to Virgil, lost to Bam Bam Bigelow. Let's see, lost to Demolition Axe and USA Pro. And 97, went back to the MEWF in Baltimore, lost his retirement match against George the Animal Steel. Well, if you're going to go out, I mean, that's not bad.
George the Animal Steel in your retirement match again.
That's pretty good.
First place to go out.
Yeah, Mike Sharp School of Pro Wrestling, located in New Jersey, obviously closed now. The best known people he trained: Mike Bucci, aka Nova, Chris Ford, aka Crowbar, and the Haas brothers, Charlie Haas and the late Russ Haas. All right, man, that bear hug—he's got it on there for a long time.
He's got it.
Oh dear. All right. Still fighting, folks. Come on, CB Offie, you can do it. This is a long match here for Mike Sharp.
He's going strong.
Yep. They would think nothing about those sending the undercard guys out. Hey, you have a nice 12-15 minute match here. Little girls are watching.
because Hogan would come in there, because I think if I remember, he said the card had Hogan and Hillbilly Jim were in the...
Hogan and Hillbilly Jim are taking on Stud and Bundy in the main event.
We know Hogan would... I bet even that early, Hogan was wrestling at the before the intermission.
No, actually, Hogan was on last.
Oh, he was on last. So I guess...
The match before intermission was, I want to say, Tito Santana.
That makes sense. Probably the hottest match on the show.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, this is follow up. They did WrestleMania 2. They did Hogan and Bundy, and yet Hogan and Hillbilly against Bundy and Stud. Yep. Oh, nice elbow drop.
But just like you said, Pat, give him 15 minutes of this before you go into Tito Macho Man.
Right. Got the crowd all nice and, warmed up. Oh, yeah. All right. Up. Sivioffi fighting back.
I remember.
Gorilla likes the resiliency of young Sivioffi.
And if I remember, Pat, are both of these guys coming off their appearance in the WrestleMania 2 Battle Royal?
That's an excellent question. I'm going to have to look that up here.
I would say, I thought I remember Mike Sharp being in there, but...
I mean, Mike Sharp would be a good candidate for that sort of thing. Let's see.
Both those guys.
The evolution of Sivioffi. Okay, here we go. Oh, there's a website on this. Thank goodness here.
Look at that. He's coming in strong, Pat.
Yep. Okay, let's see. By the end of 86, he got squashed. He's getting squashed by Randy Savage in 2 or 3 minutes on TV. Okay, well, that's unfortunate for him, but... Okay. All right, a future through... In order to fit the billing, he got a traditional Samoan tattoo. Yeah, okay. Let's see. Okay, not too much about Sivioffi on here. Some pictures of him in his indie days. Let's see. So, Papa Little Toe Gaga. Okay. Yeah, Sivioffi is a lot easier to say. Also known as Max Talgaga. Okay, Max. Never wrestled on pay-per-view, so that's unfortunate, I guess.
Too bad. Work over. Pat, he could have been on that Legends of Wrestling show that you and Bob
could have
been working on the Patreon in 1999.
I suppose he could have. Tribal performers of Fire Knife Dancing. Oh, Fire Knife Dancing is called Sivioffi, which is where they got this from. Okay. I get it. Let's see. Okay. Almost there.
Mike Sharp showing his resiliency.
Yep. I mean, Mike Sharp knows what he's doing. Okay, Sivioffi, let's see. After his career ended, Sivioffi was in prison. Oh, my goodness.
Uh-oh.
Well, he was a getaway driver in a robbery. Okay, well, that's not great. Offi did, in jail, manage to turn to God and several... Okay, there you go. All right, so, well, I don't know if that's... I mean, it's on the internet, but I don't know if it's true, obviously. Okay. What else are they talking about? All right. There we go. They're outside the ring. Sivioffi with the chops. Yep. The headbutts. Oh my goodness. Sharp. Sharp looks befuddled out there. Nope. He's going to work though. No, he's not. I was gonna skin the cat. Come on, Stevie, you can do it. Yeah, kind of. All right. Very nice. Nope. Oh, no. Mike Sharp's falling back out of the ring. He's going to need an extra couple minutes in the shower after that.
Most definitely, Pat.
Look at all that garbage on the floor. I think it's going to be a count out. Yeah, it's going to be a count out because, you know, Sharp couldn't make it back in the ring.
Set him up for the next
because
one.
Because God forbid that Mike Sharp leave. Yeah. God forbid Mike Sharp lose clean. All right, let's see. Okay. Oh, Mike Sharp's going to attack him after the bell.
Keep this feud going, Pat.
There must be a rematch. Please stay out of it. Yeah. Yeah. Gorilla suggests that the referee stay out of it. Well, that's probably good advice, Gorilla. Yes. All right. Yep. Yeah. Well, Ernie Ladd's impressed that got chased off. Yeah, Mike Sharp outsmarted himself, according to Heenan. Right. Yeah. And Heenan thinks Stevie Offee should have been disqualified for bringing Sharp out on the floor. Yeah, he has to jump off of the... See, Heenan has to get up on the apron because to protest bad officiating. Well, yeah, that's... I can see that. As a former manager, I can understand.
Makes sense.
Makes perfect sense. Okay. Let's see. All right, so... Okay, so then from here, Stevie Offee went around the horn feuding with Bret Hart and Don Morocco. Oh, my goodness. Now, Jimmy Hart. What? The fans are throwing him underwear after him having his underwear revealed. Okay, so Adrian Adonis and Haas Funk are out here for some reason.
Look at this.
Oh, excuse me, Haas Funk. Because apparently Vince McMahon thought Dory was a sissy name. I don't know.
Now Terry Funk is gone at this point.
Oh, Terry Funk. Yeah, Terry Funk failed. Yeah, Jimmy Jack Funk is going to be filling in as long as is needed. Anyway, they're going back to the Meadowlands in a couple weeks, and it's going to be Junkyard Dog against Dory Funk Jr.
And then soon is Adrian Adonis's mystery suspension, correct, Pat?
I believe so, yes.
It's a mystery suspension between now and the Piper feud.
Okay, well, Adrian Adonis is supposed to be on the Meadowlands card on May the 8th, teaming with Randy Savage against Hillbilly Jim and Tito Santana. But Adrian doesn't make it, and Bob Orton fills in for him. Oh, well. Okay. And meanwhile, Stevie Offee is going to be putting over a lot of people here.
Well, when your feud continues with Iron Mike Sharp, you know you're in trouble, Pat.
Yeah, you are. Okay, gets booked against Stevie Offee. Gets booked against Iron Sheik. Oh, good grief! Against Dory Funk Jr. in Hartford. Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. The Hart family will be the most dominant force in professional wrestling. Obviously, with a group like this, yes.
This hodgepodge.
Yeah. So Terry's in very, very serious training, according to Dory Funk. Not going to say where.
How much longer did Dory Funk's run last?
His last night in was was the show in Toronto, the big event.
Okay, so two more months he's around.
Three more months, yeah. Three or four.
Oh, here comes our main event, Pat.
Oh, boy, it's the one we've been waiting for, Corporal Kirshner. And, of course, the Iron Sheik. All right, so... Okay. Good grief. What is Okay, so... Yep, C.V. Afi is at the Garden the next month, but he's one of the guys who tries to break up the fight between Ricky Steamboat and Jake Roberts. He's not wrestling on the show. He's just there to break up the fight. I'm not making this up.
Lee.
Oh, wait, no, he is. Okay, excuse me. Oh, he's taking on Hercules next month at the Garden.
Hercules probably messes him up.
Yeah. And I don't see Iron Mike Sharp on the card anywhere. Somehow. All right, from Tehran around the Iron Sheik. Who, as he will remind you, former WWF champion. Yeah. Okay, Sheik. What's Sheiky Baby up to here at this time? Yep, he's feuding with the Iron Sheik. Okay, that makes sense.
Well, was she
matter of fact, while this is airing, he is fighting with Iron Sheik. They're taking this match to Miami.
Now, Kirchner's coming off beating Nikolai in a flag match at WrestleMania 2, correct?
Yes.
And he gets the win because it's WrestleMania. And right. Then afterwards, I think, goes on the immediate losing streak.
All right. So, yeah, I think for a while we're going to get combinations of Kirchner and Tony Atlas against Sheik and Volkov.
Whoa, that just sounds bad, Pat.
Yeah, there's a reason for that. It does sound bad. Yeah, Corporal Kirshner would, however, revitalize his career over in Japan as Leatherface. Oh, and this time when Corporal Kirshner passed away, he actually passed away. WWF somehow ran that Corporal Kirshner died several years ago and never corrected it.
Wow, they never corrected it until this recent.
No, they never corrected it. They did a "Where Are They Now" and on Corporal Kirshner later, but they never apologized for or explained how they got the information wrong in the first place. All right, so story of Corporal Kirshner, Mike Penzel. While working as a bouncer in Minnesota, Penzel met professional wrestler Hulk Hogan at a gym. Hogan introduced him to Vern Gagne and got sent to professional wrestling school. Then, Kirchner got hired by the WWF and worked as a jobber under the name R.T. Reynolds, which is mildly amusing. Then Vince McMahon discovered that Penzel had been in the 82nd Airborne legit, so made him Corporal Kirchner. That and Sergeant Slaughter leaving. Perfect.
The coincidence.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, he went on the Australian tour. Okay. Guys didn't want to work with him because he was considered stiff. Then tested positive for drug use in 87. And, he was announced for the gimmick battle royal at WrestleMania 17, but they eventually took him off the graphic and he never showed up. Let's see. So after the WWF, he went to Stampede. And then went to New Japan in 89. As he created the... Then he created the Leatherface gimmick. UWF, of course, for Herb Abrams as Corporal Kirchner. Joined Wing for the Canone, for Victor Canones. Let's see. Okay. Got jailed in Japan. At that point, Leatherface was given, the gimmick was given to Rick Patterson. And then, And then in 94 in IWA, Kirchner and Rick Patterson competed as the team of the Leatherfaces. Oh, boy. Yes. All right, then he went to Frontier FMW. Perfect. Came super leather.
There is a pattern here, Pat.
Yep. Okay, then let's see. Leatherface continued, and in the 2000s, went to work for the Insane Clown Posse, is in their wrestling Yeah, teaming with a guy working as Jason as the serial killers. His final match was 2010 as in a six-man tag. Okay. There you go. Yes, in 2006, WWF reported that he had died. The WWF had the wrong, didn't know his real name. They thought the Thomas Spears, who had died in Maryland, was actually Mike Penzel. Okay. Kirchner was working as a truck driver at the time and then died of a heart attack a couple weeks ago while living in North Carolina.
So he was 15
at the age of 64. So if he was 64 when he died, that would make him he's 28 during this match.
It's interesting though, Pat, that he was advertised for that WrestleMania 17 gimmick battle royal and never
pulled off. Yeah.
I wonder what happened there.
I don't know. He was still in FMW at the time. I don't know. Maybe he wanted more money than they were willing to pay. Which is why a couple people didn't,
got pulled from that show.
Yeah.
Outpriced himself.
Well, I mean, it was probably one of those things where, WWF figured, hey, these guys should be happy that somebody's calling them, and they're like, not real. And Mike Kirchner or Mike Penzel is like, yeah, I'm actually working now. I'm actually still working in Japan, so I'd like to get paid. You want to use my name and likeness. Of course, he wasn't working as Corporal Kirchner, so. And he's not, he's not awful, but he's not good either. I mean, this is Sheik, so I don't know what you'd expect. Yeah, but a whole bunch of, 86 is all, Kirchner feuding with Sheik and Volkov. Oh, there we go. And there's Volkov getting up. Volkov's got the cane.
Once that cane's involved,
No, he clocked him with Blassie's cane. Oh, no. Yes, it's not the first time that Kane would get involved in it. It's not the last time Kane would get involved in a WWF match. But Blassie didn't interfere, though. Oh, look at us. Yeah. Yeah. There's like sweat pouring down the Sheik. Oh, no. Referee apparently saw the Kane shot, so. Oh, good grief.
Uh-oh, they're going to take
it. And Nick is Nick's bringing him back in the hard way.
Because that way you have the whole summer, Pat, going back around the horn with these two against.
Yeah, you need stuff on the undercard and
in Atlas. You said,
yeah, Atlas is Atlas. Tony Atlas is an American, so why not? God help you if you're sitting through those Atlas and Iron Sheik matches.
Oof.
Oh, here we go. Up. And Kirchner takes off. What? No, he's getting a chair. Oh, good idea. He's going to make his own save here. All right. Corporal Kirchner, ladies and gentlemen.
Clears house.
Short match. DQ finish. Feud must continue. All right. All right. Yep. This is a good spot if Kirchner kept it together. All right. There we go. Anyway, rest in peace, Corp. Too young to die.
Yes.
Yeah. And girl's like, what was the referee doing? Thought the referee should have DQ'd him immediately. Should have put a stop to things immediately after the cane shot. Mm-hmm. All right.
They're saying 3-1 is what kept Corporal Kirchner down.
That's right. Up next, more primetime. Well, not much more. This is what you get, except you're missing the segments where they'd advertise. hey, you know, we're coming, where they like have the dates of upcoming shows, which was meaningless.
And we're missing promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Heenan will be back next week. Oh, and TNT is now airing on Wednesdays.
By this point, Vince is no longer hosting, correct, Gene?
Oh, yeah, Oakland.
They're failing by now.
Yeah, let Oakland do it. Yeah, I thought they should, I mean, I thought they have the network. They ought to bring back, you know, Tuesday Night Titans.
I thought so too on the network. I thought that would have been a good vehicle.
That would be over some of their kids. They don't want to spend. They're not spending any money on the network anymore. So,
agreed, Pat. But back when it launched, I agreed. I thought that would be a great way.
Oh well.
Interesting seeing these graphics.
All right, and that's all the graphics we're going to see because they're going to cut us off here. All right, so we have a little time here. I'm going to pause it for me and Scott while we do this.
Do you want to go behind the scenes at World Championship Wrestling and find out what really happened from one of the greatest minds in the history of the business, the infamous booker behind WCW's success with the New World Order? Other podcasts weren't there. Let's clean up the fantasy bullshit, give you real facts and real stories with the Taskmaster himself. Yes, this is Taskmaster Talks with Kevin Sullivan, available on the Creative Control Network.
We would like to thank Gregoire Lormet for the use of his track Run Faster, Jump Higher. You can hear all of his work at Jamendo.com or on his website, musicepique.com, musicuepique.com.
But instead of queuing the next prime time, we have a little time to put together a bonus match for you people, if you are interested. Scott, you're interested, right?
I would love to, but Mrs. Pazner is not interested, Pat.
Oh, no, I meant for to get through this episode. Okay, so we're not going to know.
I'm sorry.
If we're out of time crunch, then that's fine. Well, then we're going to just go ahead and get to the other pivotal part of this show, which is the part, which is what happened next. Well, the poll, we'll do the poll here in a minute. Let's get to what happened next. So what happened next? We get done here. It is still April of 1986. All right, so after the 28th, let's see. All right, so coming up on the 29th, which is the Tuesday after the show airs, WWF has got two shows. The A show is in San Francisco at the Cow Palace, 6,500 turnout. And on that show, it is Tito Santana defeating the Intercontinental Champion, Randy Macho Man Savage, by disqualification. And in the main event, Hulk Hogan, the WWF Champion, pins the Magnificent Morocco. Very good. Okay. So what do we have next? The B show. The B show, Scott, is in West Palm Beach in front of 2,800 people. We're on that. And on that show, you get to see the Iron Sheik defeat Tony Atlas and...
Whoa.
Yeah. And in the main event, it is Ricky Steamboat and the Junkyard Dog defeating Dory Funk Jr. and Jimmy Jack Funk in a tag team matchup.
I could see the crowd leaving happy.
Yeah, might as well. Yeah, that's Ricky Steamboat and Junkyard Dog, that's probably fun. All right, Jim Crockett Promotions on Tuesday the 29th. They have three shows going on. How can that be, you ask? Well, they're doing their syndicated taping, which I guess you'd call it a show, in Greenwood, South Carolina, about an hour from where I live here in Greenville. That's about an hour south of here. And leaving the tapings early, I guess, would be Wahoo McDaniel and Jimmy Garvin, because not only do they wrestle at the tapings, they're headlining that night in Greenville, South Carolina, the regular every other Tuesday show at the auditorium. So on the Greenville show, so in Greenwood, it was a bunch of squash matches plus Wahoo versus Jimmy Garvin, plus apparently the dark match was a Russian chain match between Magnum TA and Nikita Koloff. Okay. The B Show is in Greenville, South Carolina. It is not a TV taping. Jimmy Valiant and Sam Houston team up to defeat the Barbarian and Shaska Watley. And in the main event, it's Wahoo McDaniel beating Jimmy Garvin by disqualification, because why not? And the C Show is in Macon, Georgia, where the main event is the Rock and Roll Express defeating the Midnight Express in a non-title affair.
It sounds like I'd want to be at the C Show, Pat.
Probably. I don't know what else is on it, but yeah, that's very good. Not Tuesday night, but Wednesday night, the 30th, Mid-South has a show in Alexandria, Louisiana, at the Rapides Parish Coliseum. On that show, the team of Jim Duggan and Coco Beware team up and defeat Eddie Gilbert and Kostya Korchenko. Generic Russian number 12. I don't know. I don't remember the deal. And in the main event, a six-man tag, Steve Dr. Death Williams and the Fantastics against Jack Victory and the Sheepherders. They all fight to a double countout.
That was probably bloody.
Probably bloody and violent, and they fought all over the building. Like any Mid-South show. So, sounds like fun. Okay. So here we go. Let's figure out what we're all going to be watching next time out. So we're still in January. And so I went through the list of all the fan choices and picked out an obvious one. And one that we had a fan request for that we haven't done, Royal Rumble 1995. That was in Tampa that year. In addition to the 30-man Royal Rumble match, Pamela Anderson is there visiting the Royal Rumble. In 1995, that's a big deal, by the way, having Pamela Anderson in it. And also on the card, it is going to be Razor Ramon defending the Intercontinental title against Jeff Jarrett. And in the main event, the new, or relatively new, WWF champion, Diesel, a.k.a. Kevin Nash, is going to be defending that championship against the one and only Bret the Hitman Hart. Very exciting, right?
Good match. Good
pay-per-view. Okay. So let's see. Am I going first or are you going first? I guess I can go first. Rumbles are pretty popular. I'm hoping we can get Jim back for at least part of this one. So it's 2022. I'm going to go for the 20th anniversary of Royal Rumble 2002. On that show, you not only get a 30-man Royal Rumble, you also get the street fight between Ric Flair and Vince McMahon. Have you blocked your memories of that one?
Flair Vince.
Yep. Okay. That's a winner. And of course, your undisputed WWF champion, Chris Jericho, defends the title against The Rock. I don't see how you can lose with that.
That you can't lose, Pat. 20th, and also the idea of the anniversary show.
Yeah, of course. Anniversary. What could possibly go wrong? All right, and you have one that you want to throw in there.
I threw in, Pat, the 30th anniversary of the January 92 Clash of the Champions.
Clash of Champions 18, by the way.
There's some interesting matches on the show. If I remember correctly, it's when Jesse Ventura first comes out and I think there's some fun stuff. And, that early 92 where they're coming out of the We Want Flair. And, you got some interesting stuff with Paulie and the Dangerous Alliance. And there's some good stuff on there, Pat. And yes, 30 years.
As a matter of fact, here, I'll help you out. The Steiner Brothers take on the team of Big Van Vader and Mr. Hughes, managed by Harley Race. And the main event, it is Sting teaming with Ricky Steamboat against Rick Rude and Steve Austin. Hey, nothing wrong with that.
Sounds pretty fun. And 30 years, Pat, I always love those anniversaries. I love when you and Jim pick those shows based on those 20th, 25th. It's always fun.
Well, I'm looking forward to that too, if we can get that. Although from it's early days in the poll, but it looks like the winner is going to be one of the two Rumbles. That's right. Number four. We also have we're also going to get the randomizer out, and we have literally thousands of choices on the wheel. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give the wheel a big spin, hopefully. And let's see. Oh, here we go. All right, got lots of things flashing by. World Class Wrestling. TNA Wrestling, Sunday Night Heat, Raw, and we stop at, hold on a moment, and we stop at, okay, hold on. There we go. Yes, believe it or not, Scott. That's right, it's Mid-South Wrestling. Music means nothing to most of you, but yes. And the Mid-South Wrestling that wound up on here, it's a, here we go. It's from February, hold on, where is it from? Oh, geez. Oh, yeah, February 20th, 1982. It's on the network. And big tag team matches, Junkyard Dog and Mr. Olympia team up to fight the Grappler and Bob Sweetan. And your main event, Dusty Rhodes taking on Ed Wiskowski. If the name Ed Wiskowski doesn't sound familiar, he's better known to many of you as that AWA legend, Colonel De Beers. So them's your choices, Mid-South or WCW or WWF with Diesel and Bret Hart or WWF with The Rock and Chris Jericho.
You can't go wrong with anything, Pat.
No, of course. And that's the way it should be here on Way Back Playback. So please go ahead and vote. I'm on Twitter at Real Pat McNeil. That is McNeil is M-C-N-E-I-L-L. Jim is at Jim Valley. Give him a ring. Say hi to him. Scott Pasner is at Scott Pasner on Twitter.
At Scott Pasner.
Very good. And you can leave a 5, 6, or 7-star review from us on iTunes, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or wherever your pods are cast. It really just doesn't matter. And if you'd like to know more about Mr. Fuji, Toru Tanaka, C.B. Afi, Corporal Kirchner, or the Iron Sheik, visit pwtorch.com or f4wonline.com or the Wrestling Observer, or go download your local library app because they're all in books. Scott.
Thank you, Pat. Happy New Year to the audience. Feel well, Jim, and we just look forward to a great 2022.
And what should they do, Scott?
We should. Same bat time, same bat channel.
Okay, so join us next week, same way back time, same playback channel. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Scott, for being a part of the show. And until we do this again, yesterday is history, tomorrow's a mystery. Next week is another episode. Good night, everybody.